Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Saving for something special? Let our savings plans bring your plans to life. Visit zurich.ie to learn more.
Now, we're starting in Brussels today, where Taoiseach Micheál Martin and other EU leaders have gathered. And as with a number of these gatherings in recent times, what was on the actual agenda and what ends up dominating discussions are not necessarily the same thing. And today is no exception, as international events again overshadow EU business. Our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, joins me now on the line. Tony, good evening to you.
Evening, Colm.
This was all supposed to be about competitiveness, but Iran and the US and Israel attack on it dominated.
Yeah, that's right, Colm. There was a summit, an informal summit in a castle outside Brussels in the middle of February. And there they were looking at the hindrances or stumbling blocks to a much more integrated, effective single market. The fact that European competitiveness relative to China and the US has really fallen dangerously behind. And those problems were illustrated fairly graphically in the Mario Draghi report and also the Enrico Letta report on the single market. So they had back in February taken quite a stride forward in terms of what they needed to do in terms of fixing the single market and boosting competitiveness. And there's a roadmap to getting some of those ambitions realised, you know, by 2028. But of course, all of that was essentially pushed by the wayside, by the war in Iran. Although things like energy efficiency and the cost of energy at EU level have now obviously come back into the spotlight. So today they're looking at what they can do in the short term, like what emergency measures can be taken in the light of soaring oil and gas prices, and what to do in the long term. Now, obviously, in the long term, the EU's big ambition is to diversify away from imported fossil fuels and over to renewables. But that's obviously a long-term effort. In the short term, the Commission has been saying, look, it's up to member states to reduce taxes and levies, to provide subsidies for energy-intensive industries. There was talk last week of perhaps a price cap on gas, but that seems to have died a death. And that was something they proposed back after Russia invaded Ukraine, but the price cap was set so high that it was actually never used. So that's really what they're looking at this morning. Now, at the moment, they're discussing the Middle East after having had lunch with the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres. This morning, it was dominated by the whole question of the 90 billion euro loan for Ukraine, which Viktor Orban, the Hungarian Prime Minister, has been blocking. And so really, the main substance on the Middle East is happening this afternoon.
And earlier, Taoiseach Micheál Martin condemning both Israeli and Iranian attacks on critical energy infrastructure, calling them unacceptable. The French President Emmanuel Macron calling for direct talks between the United States and Iran. What can the EU do in all of this? Because there have been fairly unclear messages coming out as to what their position is on the legality of the war and what can be done about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, once again, when it comes to the Middle East, it's hard to get a coherent message from the EU. It was certainly in the early stages, there was a sense that Ursula von der Leyen, the Commission President, was pretty much on board with regime change. The German Chancellor Friedrich Merz somewhat saying dismissively that international law was all well and good, but, you know, was not something that would really stand up to the facts on the ground and the realities of what was happening in the Gulf. Now, since then, Germany has been really a lot more blunt than other countries in rejecting any involvement militarily to try and help Donald Trump on the Strait of Hormuz. Some other countries have kept their options open. Denmark saying that, look, this is something we should look at without dismissing out of hand. Some of the Eastern European and Baltic countries as well trying to show flexibility. But ultimately, no country has put their heads above the parapet in terms of providing actual capabilities in the Strait of Hormuz, certainly while It is what people call an impermissive environment, meaning anything in there is at risk of getting hit by a drone or a ballistic missile.
You mentioned there Viktor Orban still blocking that 90 billion loan. There were some fears that he would stick to that position because of electoral considerations in Hungary. What kind of a showdown was there between the rest of the European leaders and him?
I think there was a sharp exchange this morning on that in the room. António Costa, who chairs the European Council, said that Hungary's position was unacceptable. And that's because at the December European summit, Hungary had agreed to this 90 billion euro loan and he has now reneged on it. Now, decisions taken by 27 democratically elected EU leaders in a European Council meeting are seen as a fairly sacred act at EU level. And often those statements from EU leaders direct the European Commission or member states at ministerial level to carry out certain things. And if one country then reneges on what was a sacred commitment, then it calls into question the whole nature of European summits. So that's why this has been seen as a really serious issue now for the EU's decision making. But also it's clearly a real crisis for Ukraine. They need money to run their budget by the middle of April. If they don't get this money as well for military purposes, then they fall down the list of customers who are queuing up to get access to Patriot missiles, for example, air defence systems. So that's a real risk for Ukraine because they're still getting targeted by Russia in terms of air defences.
And some level of irritation amongst EU leaders that pressure has been brought to bear on Ukraine to repair this Druzhba oil pipeline that brings oil to Hungary, and yet Viktor Orban not seeming to budge in return for that and softening his position on the loan.
That's right. And that's why people think this is really about electoral politics in Hungary. There's an election there in the middle of April. What's been happening is that Hungary, so this was a pumping station that was hit by Russia on the 20th of January, and that stopped the flow of oil transiting Ukraine into Hungary and Slovakia. And that's the reason why Viktor Orban says that he's blocking this 90 billion euro loan. He says Hungary has, or rather Ukraine has not repaired the pumping station. Now, Ukraine has said it's been difficult because of the war. They've created a technical team. The European Commission has created a technical team to go to Kyiv and then travel on to this pumping station to assess the damage, to see whether it can be fixed, how long it would take to fix it. Hungary has also complained about that technical mission because they say there are no Hungarian or Slovak experts which are part of that delegation. So it's getting into that kind of level of detail, but really most EU leaders think this is simply an electoral game by Viktor Orban.
Finally and briefly, if you could, Tony, what did the Taoiseach say about Irish troops in South Lebanon?
He said essentially that these are professional troops, that their camps are relatively safe and well supplied, but this is a real problem in terms of the Israeli incursion. And I think at a broader level, there is real concern at what impact this is having on Lebanese stability and the government there, which has been enduring a decade of problems and violence and airstrikes and so on as a result of Israel's actions.
Tony, thanks very much for that. Tony Connolly, our Europe editor, there speaking to us live from Brussels from that EU summit.